Thank you for this opportunity to practice and your guidance. Can you explain Nirodha? Nirodha is the term normally translated as cessation, ceasing, so that oftentimes it's a synonym for Nibbana, so like Dukkha Nirodha, so the cessation of Dukkha. And also seen as a part of the goal in terms of say like in the Anapanasati Sutta, the second last factor is say, contemplating cessation, I breathe in, contemplating cessation, I breathe out. And it has a, say, a problematic nature in terms of just how we express it in language, in the sense of ending, cessation, because it, you know, oftentimes we think, and similar, say, like dependent origination, there's the arising mode and the ceasing mode, and of course the bringing the different factors of dependent origination to cessation mode is certainly a goal, but the tendency to how the mind relates to cessation is that we conceive of something as already existing, and then we have to end it, stop it, make it cease. And that's a problem because we get busy. Busy, or we get obsessed with something. I got to get rid of that. This has got to end. So, say, especially, and you think in terms of the, in the teaching on dependent origination, so that when, say, ignorance ceases, then formations cease. When formations cease, consciousness ceases, and you know we'll assume that we got to go around stamping out ignorance and stamping out formations and bringing it to an end. But an equally valid translation is, or way of phrasing it, is. Say when ignorance ceases to be a problem, formation ceases to be a problem. When formation ceases to be a problem, and so then in the same way, becoming ceases to be a problem, then birth, aging, sickness, and death cease to be a problem. It's we don't make problems anymore. So that's an important way of holding it because we can. We can release around that. We can, and that's the, say, in thinking in terms of the, say, like the instructions that the Buddha gives in mindfulness of breathing, following on from Nirodha, from cessation, is relinquishment. So that forms a suitable basis for relinquishment and release. And I know that it has the same. I remember a monk in Thailand talking about it, a scholar, a Pali scholar, and this is a similar problem in the Thai language as well. Sometimes in Thai language, then it becomes a lot clearer because they've been using Pali for millennia, and it's incorporated into the language. But in this case, I think it's a human problem, That sense of how we use language, how we conceive of things. But just expanding the way we conceive of it, then it takes on a much more appropriate Dhamma meaning. Does a Sotapanna, Magga or Pala, keep the precepts perfectly? Classic definition of a Sotapanna or a stream enterer is that their virtue is unstained, unmottled, unbesmirched. I mean, that their precepts are kept perfectly. But it's also in that iteration of that, it's also that the precepts form a basis for freedom from doubt and for concentration. So it isn't as if they're desperately, are rigidly trying to hold the precepts perfectly. It's an expression of their being that the precepts aren't transgressed, because the heart is really clear and stable. Could you speak on working?